I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the Morning Beat. Thank you so much for being here with us. We have a great show planned for you. We're going to kick things off with what's on everybody's top of mind right now. All these new, potential vaccines coming out. We're hearing 90%, 94.5%. Now we hear 95% potentially by Pfizer. So we've got Dr. James Simmons calling in about 15 minutes for our What the Health segment. Make sure you tune in. It's a two-part conversation. And there's a lot of information in there that could literally save your life.
Yes.
So don't miss that. Also, later on in today's show, I'm really excited about this. I'm not excited about why they're doing this, but I'm excited about what they're doing. We have the co-founders, co-creators of an organization called the Lesbian Bar Project. There are only 15 lesbian bars left in the country. There were 200 at one point.
That's insane.
Unbelievable to me.
It makes me so sad because I went to some of the clubs that are now shut down or the fear of getting shut down. And I have some of my best memories there. And, you know, it's a safe haven for so many lesbians more than it is just a club where we can go drink. So I can't wait to talk with Erica and Charles, the founder and co-director of the Lesbian Bar Project.
Absolutely. We also found a really interesting article on Queerty about older gays giving advice to the younger generation. I'm like, where do I fit in that?
Yeah.
I'm 40 now. Am I an older gay? Am I a younger gay? Am I just irrelevant?
You're experienced, but not quite too mature.
I could still give some advice, though.
Yeah, you could.
I could give advice to like teens and people in their 20s, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe not in their 30s. I think you have to be 20 years older than somebody to give advice. Yeah.
No, I think you could do 30s.
Okay.
Listen, I think if you have good advice, you can give it.
Wow. I
just advised you.
I could advise an older gay.
Yeah.
Someone older than I?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Maybe.
We'll see. Stick around. We have a great show planned for you. But first, Michaela Gordon, there is some business at hand. How about some news on the beat?
You got it, babe. Well, the FDA has issued an emergency authorization for the first rapid coronavirus test that can be used at home and deliver results within minutes. The new test uses nasal swab samples and is authorized for ages 14 and older. It'll help people skip long lines as coronavirus cases skyrocket nationwide and comes days after more positive news on vaccine trials. Moderna announced a 94.5% effective rate, while Pfizer BioNTech said final analysis shows its coronavirus vaccine is 95% effective with no safety concerns. And Pfizer's CEO says the company plans to file for emergency use authorization for it soon. The U.S. continues to set grim records with about 76,830 people hospitalized nationwide, the highest number since the start of the pandemic. Now, this is likely the last big surge before a vaccine offers help, said Dr. Mark McClellan, a former FDA commissioner. The months ahead are going to look better than the weeks ahead, he added. But to echo what AJ said, we're joined by Dr. James Simmons this hour to really talk in depth about that.
He keeps us safe.
Yeah, he does. We love Dr.
James. And he makes it fun.
Yeah, and he's so cute.
As fun as a pandemic can be.
He keeps it interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, another news. President Trump has fired the head of a federal cybersecurity agency who debunked his election conspiracy theories. Christopher Krebs was director of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency in the Homeland Security Department. His agency recently launched an online rumor control blog rebutting claims of election fraud spread by Trump and his supporters. Krebs also posted on social media, often with blaring red siren emojis, fact checks of the baseless claims, and a tweet announcing the ouster of the president called Krebs' characterization of the election highly inaccurate. Krebs fired back with a tweet of his own, "Honored to serve. We did it right. Defend today. Secure tomorrow." Meanwhile, President-elect Joe Biden announced 9 key members of his White House senior staff.
I feel like with a lame duck president, it doesn't happen very often that a president wins one term and then he's out. I feel like we should be in some sort of a holding pattern where he shouldn't be able to withdraw our troops from, you know, hot regions all over the world, get us into a war with Iran. Potentially, he was looking at possibly bombing a nuclear site there, firing all these heads of agencies. I feel like he shouldn't be able to do that because he's so petty. He's trying to set it up so Joe Biden comes in with so many fires to put out that he can't accomplish anything.
Yeah.
It's just petty.
So petty.
It's un-American.
All right, well, let's get into a little weather. It's going to be a high of 43 in New York today, a high of 68 in L.A., a high of 79 in Vegas, and a high of 84 in Palm Springs. Now give us a vibe of the day.
There is no failure except in no longer trying. Keep
That's
trying.
Good. Keep trying. All right, you guys, coming up, Dr. James Simmons joins us to discuss Moderna's vaccine that could possibly get us back to normal by 2021, how this could affect you and your loved ones. We're back in 2 minutes. We've seen his health really decline. We saw him, on a walker. We saw him kind of, to what I thought, like pandering a little bit. But it is. It was just announced that he has a fever and is being monitored by medical staff in prison. And they don't know, they cannot confirm nor deny that he's tested positive for COVID-19.
But what if he is positive?
So this is wild
Talk
to me.
Talk about karma.
I mean, look, his convictions were first degree criminal sexual act and third degree rape. I mean, they weren't light charges to begin with. And to know that if he had COVID, I mean, we've watched, he's not a young guy. And we've watched men over their 50s and even 60s not be able to come back from COVID-19. And imagine being in prison. I will say, though, the one thing, and we've watched like with Felicity Huffman and we've watched with Lori Loughlin, some of these bigger celebrities get much better treatment. So
I don't know that he has, though.
Do you don't think he has?
I don't think so, because I think it's a little bit different. I think you put Harvey Weinstein in a very, very different category than everybody else, because even some hardened criminals who are in prison for life see a guy like him and know the things that he did to women, and they think, my sister, my mother, my wife, my daughter, and they look at him in a different context. Lori Loughlin, they paid some money to get their kid into a college. Nobody's personally offended by that in prison.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, okay, you think you're hot stuff, got it. But what he did, he was a sexual predator.
Yeah, he was. Well, he also comes with a lot of underlying conditions. It should come as no surprise that he's had numerous maladies and conditions, including a heart condition and high blood pressure and spinal stenosis. So we'll see how it goes. I don't want to be rude and not empathetic towards the situation, but
well, it's interesting to me. He's a fascinating one because for me, he's had a hand in so many iconic careers. So many of the films that we all would put on our top 10 list. He might have 2, 3, 4 films on there.
Yeah.
And he impacted their lives in ways that we don't even fully understand just by putting certain people in front of us.
Yeah.
In our pop culture, like, mentality.
Yeah.
And so to separate that, the work, and the successes from who he is personally as a human being, which is despicable, is tricky.
Well, for our listeners, if you don't remember, we spoke with Anne Heche just a few weeks ago, and she talks about being Me Too'd by Harvey Weinstein.
I mean, Rose McGowan was on, I believe she was on Let's Go There a few months back.
She gave an amazing interview about how she was really the biggest one that came out against him. He was awful.
Rose McGowan, Alyssa Milano led a lot of that charge. I remember I was at the Golden Globes the year the Time's Up movement happened. And it was one of the most powerful things I've ever experienced in my entire life.
Yeah.
I remember America Ferrera, Natalie Portman, they all walked the carpet, but they brought survivors with them. I think America or Natalie brought an indigenous woman with her and talked about her survival of sexual abuse and harassment over the years. And just to hear these women's stories and to see every single person every single person dressed in black.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Except for the president of the Hollywood Foreign Press, which runs the Golden Globe. She wore red. I was like, woman, really?
I know. I don't. That was weird. Well, listen, we'll keep you updated on Harvey Weinstein's condition. As of now, we don't have an answer. Now, this What's Poppin' was brought to you by California Psychics. And I love California Psychics. I had an incredible experience myself. When my grandma passed away, I was able to talk with my very own psychic. She was wonderful and kind and lovely. So go to CaliforniaPsychics.com or download the app for free. If it's not the best psychic reading you've ever had, it is also free. So go to CaliforniaPsychics.com.
That makes it kind of worthwhile.
It does. Right. I feel like that. If you don't love it, then it's free. All right, well, coming up in our next hour, Ryan Basham joins us to discuss Lady G interfering in the Georgia election and if he holds any real power when it comes to the election and how it could affect us. We're back in 2 minutes.
Coming up this hour on The Morning Beat, we're joined by the VP of Communications from Stonewall Democrats talking about Lady G, Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham's constant support of Trump. She's in trouble once again. We're going to discuss that in 15 minutes from right now. We've got News on the Beat coming up in just a moment. Before we go there, though, I did bring up something in the last hour that I never really elaborated on. So I'd like to take this opportunity to do that, Michaela.
Take the opportunity.
Can we do it?
Go.
Okay. So I brought up Pop-Tarts. I told you I had a story about Pop-Tarts.
Well, I said I'm your Pop-Tart.
Can I share why I brought that up?
Yeah, bring it up.
I watched a Facebook video yesterday for probably 10 to 12 minutes straight. And it was somebody making gingerbread houses out of Pop-Tarts.
How'd it look?
A whole DIY.
Brown sugar cinnamon or strawberry?
Oh, no. It's the one with the sprinkles, the white icing with the sprinkles.
Yeah, so
it looks like
delicious.
Holiday. Yes, exactly. My friend Cornelia sent it to me because she said I needed to up my game because every year I get those gingerbread houses from Trader Joe's. Have you ever seen those there?
No.
During the holidays, they're amazing. And I have a gingerbread decorating contest in my home. Well, this year, I'm doing Pop-Tarts. I'm doing
yes.
it. I'm going to do strawberry Pop-Tarts.
I stand.
That is the huge payoff to my story that I didn't tell last hour.
Thank you so much for that invigorating
story.
I don't know if I would have gotten through the day without knowing
these
that.
These are the sorts of conversations you can expect from The Morning Beat, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
So if you're just tuning in for the very first time, if that's the first thing you ever heard from us.
We're either dragging Candace Owens or talking.
Or
Pop-Tarts at Trader Joe's.
Because guess what? The rest of the show, we talk about pop culture, politics, and politics aren't that much fun right now.
Yeah, they're
not. Pandemic's not that much fun.
Nope. So we just keep it easy.
Keep it light. The three Ps, pop culture, pandemics, and politics. That's usually, so we thought we'd add Pop-Tarts in there.
It's perfect.
All right, Michaela Gordon, how about you do your best Barbara Walters?
All right, well, let's talk about something else that makes me so happy. Another P for Parton.
Okay, now, News on the Beat, take it away.
Moderna Therapeutics became the second company to report promising preliminary reports from a large trial testing a coronavirus vaccine on Monday. For a world anxiously waiting for a morsel of positive news about the pandemic, early trial data from its large continuing study showed that the Massachusetts-based drug maker's vaccine is 94.5% effective. And you can thank Dolly Parton for that. Moderna's efforts to clinch a vaccine were funded in part by the Dolly Parton COVID-19 Research Fund as part of the musician's unwavering support for the Vanderbilt University Medical Center, according to an article published in the New England Journal of Medicine. Now, the center was one of several key players and institutions in public health that have supported Moderna's months-long bid to contain COVID-19. The news that the second potential vaccine was, of all people, partly funded by Parton, and she became a glimmer of hope on Twitter. The gays were losing their minds. Everybody really was. You know, it is iconic to me that Dolly Parton would be the one to save the world.
Let's just say that.
She saved the world.
Let's say her $1 million is the reason this pandemic is going to come to an end.
But it's kind of real.
That's so 2020.
It
really is 2020.
Like, it is 2020.
Also, teach us to respect our seniors, our elders. How about Joe Biden is the next president? He's 142 years old, and Dolly Parton is the one saving the planet. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what a year to...
It all happened.
Huh.
It's all happening. All right, well, in other news, President Trump has fired the head of a federal cybersecurity agency who debunked his election conspiracy theories. Christopher Krebs was director of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency in the Homeland Security Department. His agency recently launched an online rumor control blog rebutting claims of election fraud spread by Trump and his supporters. Krebs also posted on social media, often with blaring red siren emojis, fact checks of the baseless claims. In a tweet announcing the ouster, the president called Krebs' characterization of the election highly inaccurate. Krebs fired back with a tweet of his own, "Honored to serve. We did it right. Defend today, secure tomorrow." Meanwhile, President-elect Joe Biden announced 9 key members of his White House senior staff. Alrighty then. That's interesting. Look at the difference between Trump and Biden.
Well, his transition team is 50% minority and female.
That's amazing.
So he's putting his money where his mouth is already. So yeah. That's exciting.
And we appreciate it. All right, let's get into a little weather. It's going to be a high of 68 in Kansas City today. It's going to be a high of 81 in Miami, 61 in San Francisco, and 90 in Phoenix. Now give us a vibe of the day.
There is no failure except in no longer trying. The moment you give up, it's over.
It's over. Don't give up. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, Brian Basham joins us to discuss Lady G interfering in the Georgia election and if he holds any real power when it comes to the election. We're back in 2 minutes.
Well, he asked if the ballots could be matched back to the voters. And then I got the sense it implied that then you could throw those out. And he really would look at the counties with the highest frequent error of signatures. So that's the impression that I got.
That is Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger Monday on the Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer on CNN, talking about this Georgia kerfuffle. And Lindsey Graham reaching out and saying, hey, are there a lot of votes we could throw away in highly Democratic areas, basically, that we can't match them to the actual voters? Could he be in some legal trouble because of this? I don't know. Here to help us break it all down, Ryan Basham, the VP of Communications for Stonewall Democrats. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi, y'all.
So Lindsey Graham, once again, got himself into some hot water. Could there be a legal ramification to all of this? Could he get into any sort of trouble, or is this just going to disappear?
Well, because my problem with it is he didn't say it. It's just that he implied it, which is a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's any legal ramifications for him. You know, it's kind of like he reminds me of Frank Underwood from House of Cards, except he's like not as good at it, but he's still just good enough at it to not ever actually get in trouble for anything. I mean, during the election, he was asking people to donate to his campaign on the grounds of Capitol Hill, which is against the law, too. And nobody's coming for him after that.
I was kind of into that, to be honest. It took a lot of courage to do that.
Also, wasn't Frank Underwood from South Carolina, just like Lindsey Graham?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Wow. Life imitates art, imitates life. So Lindsey Graham's an interesting one to me. So early on, you know, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, he had so many harsh... He was probably one of the harshest critics of Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Best friends with John McCain, who has obviously since passed. And he has made such an about-face that there have been so many rumors that Donald Trump has dossiers on people.
Well, he literally said Joe Biden was a good man.
Yeah, of course. Like, the best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that Donald Trump...
He cried when he said it.
Absolutely he did. And that Donald Trump runs the country like a mob boss. So that it would make sense that he maybe has files on people. Is there another explanation that we're missing? Because his about face, Lindsey Graham's, has been so abrupt and so wild, I can't make sense of it.
I think that, I honestly think that Lindsey Graham this entire time is playing the long con. And when John McCain was alive, because I think John McCain was probably a good judge of character. And I think when John McCain was alive, he was doing such a good job of pretending to be a good person that John McCain bought it. But then John McCain died, and he realized in order to stay relevant, he needed to change his tune. And so he started doing multiple about faces since John McCain died, just in order to stay in as close to power as possible, which is kind of almost like, you know, some people don't have like a morality chip in their brain. Mm. And I wonder if that's the case. Like maybe he's just an amoral person and he just does whatever he needs to do to be powerful and doesn't actually care about anybody.
Or he's a closeted gay man and Donald Trump knows it and he's holding that against him. I'm just saying that's an allegation that's in my brain and mine alone. So I'm not going to say that I'm representing the thoughts of anybody here at radio.com. But it just feels like there's something juicier going on with Lindsey Graham.
It might be. And it might be. And, you know, the thing is, I don't know that Donald Trump has it together enough to have a file on anybody. But I think that some of the people around him, like a Rudy Giuliani, might. So, you know, it's possible. I mean, it's 2020, man. We could discover that he's an alien.
I mean, listen, what we do know. The best thing about Lindsey Graham is he gives you audio proof of his about faces, of his hypocrisy. There was a little audio that we had from 2016 of Lindsey Graham on Amy Coney Barrett. Take a listen.
We're setting a precedent here today, Republicans are, that in the last year, at least of a lame duck 8-year term, I would say it's going to be a 4-year term, that you're not going to fill a vacancy of the Supreme Court. If there's a Republican president in 2016 and a vacancy occurs in the last year of the first term, you can say, Lindsey Graham said, let's let the next president, whoever it might be, make that nomination. And you could use my words against me and you'd be absolutely right.
Okay,
all the time.
So that and $5 will get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks. Yeah. Like, it's worth nothing. Does his word?
Nothing.
But yet he gets reelected easily in a race that we thought was going to be a lot closer. What's going on?
Well, the only people he's accountable to are the people of South Carolina. And clearly, they were willing to, just like, you know, Trump's voters are willing to, you know, have a president who brags about grabbing women by the you-know-what. I mean, that this was okay with them. I think that the next 6 years, you know, the Republican Party's been doing a really good job of, like, doing hit pieces on Democrats, and that's why so many people don't quote unquote like Hillary Clinton, because they spent 30 years training people to believe she was bad.
Uh-huh.
Right? I think we should just do that to Lindsey Graham in South Carolina. Like spend the next 6 years showing people who he really is in South Carolina. So when he goes up for re-election again, they're like, oh, he really isn't a good person. Maybe then we can get him out of office.
I feel like we've showed that. I feel like it's been shown that he's not a great person. I feel like it's been shown that he's gone back on his word multiple times. I think the people of South Carolina just want to stay with what they know.
But I also feel like
everything else.
To be fair, I feel like that's the difficult part about being a Democrat, right? So there's half of our party who believes in that when they go low, we go high, Michelle Obama mentality, which I try so hard to hold on to. Then there's the other half that's like, let's play dirty. We're bringing a knife to a gunfight over and over again.
That's like
and
my whole life right now.
Yeah.
Part of me wants to be the bigger person, and then part of me is like, you know what? Not today. Going to be petty spaghetti. Can't be bothered.
Yeah, so what's the middle ground? Is there one?
We want you to answer that for us. That question, and also what we can possibly eliminate from our lives after Trump leaves office. We'll have more in Red, White, and Q with Ryan Basham in 2 minutes.
I am American. It is time for Red, White, and Q once again with the VP of Communications for Stonewall Dems. Ryan Basham is on the line. Before we went to break, we asked you, in this era of sort of Republicans just not having any rules, Donald Trump, Lindsey Graham, there's no morals. And then we have on our side Michelle Obama telling us to go high when they go low. I want to know, is that even possible? Is that a sustainable game plan moving forward? Or is there a middle ground in your opinion?
I think it's like less of a middle ground and more of a, we just need different people to do different things. Like, I think we need some people to embody the dignity that is supposed to be our electoral process and the office holders of the highest offices in our land. And then we need some other people who also play for our team who go low just to meet them where they are, but just to, you know, counter message the crap that they put out there when they do go low. So I feel like it's kind of like an all of the above situation.
All right, so we need we like politicians who have some morals, and then you need pit bulls to send out.
I feel like I would want to be the pit bull.
You would be you're my pit bull.
Oh, you would be such a good pit bull.
I feel like, oh my God, I love the artist Pitbull, and I would probably play his music every time I walked out on stage. Not the point.
Also, sidebar, she is in a feud right now on social media with Candace Owens.
I am in a huge social media feud with the people that follow me, Candace Owens, and myself.
So she's practicing.
Oh, my God.
So I'm practicing. okay, well, I want to talk about something on the flip side here now. With Trump leaving the office, he's done a lot of things in 4 years, particularly for our community, our family, our friends. What are some of the things that we can look forward to that will be eliminated once he leaves office?
Oh, my God. My very first thought is not having to think about Cheetos all the time.
Did he ruin Cheetos for you? Because I'm going to say, I look at him differently now when I go into a 7-Eleven. I still eat them. I'm just mad. I eat them angrily. Hot Cheetos. Never going to be the same.
Well, how about...
I feel like I'm looking forward to waking up every day knowing that there's not a serious chance we've gone to an arbitrary war with Iran. I look forward to waking up every day knowing that that my healthcare coverage isn't at risk. But I also look forward to, like, my friends who live across the globe not messaging me anymore going, WTF, why is your country such a dumpster fire?
Oh, that's real.
My best friend, we were just talking about her off air, actually. Michaela's rolling her eyes right now. She lives in Portugal. She's been there for a couple of years. She's like, oh my God, it got real bad when I left. Like, what's going on there? I don't understand it. People look at us like we're crazy.
Yeah, and they're right. We did set up this electoral system, and we did elect Donald Trump. Republicans like to pretend that the opinions of people around the globe aren't really a real thing when they're in power, because they always trash our reputation somehow around the globe. But the reality is, we are the last major superpower in the world, and we have been under Donald Trump at real risk of losing that. And I think there aren't enough people alive today who can really appreciate what it's like to be because we have been the only superpower for so long, the privileges that we experience as Americans around the globe because our country is the last remaining superpower. If we were to lose that, our lives would be different and not in ways that we want.
That's real. This is so strange. Every time I get on an escalator, it's almost triggering, to be honest, because he announced his candidacy coming down that escalator at Trump Tower in 2015. And for me, though, that's really real. And I think a lot of people, like the word huge to me, when I hear the word huge, if I see somebody wearing a red hat, I get a little, like, the hairs on the back of my neck go up. Until I realize,
it's a lot. Listen, it's countries. Somebody said the other day, Russia, and someone went, Russia, China. Like, the way that he says things, you just can never unhear them.
We did a story yesterday, and tell me something good about a girl whose life was saved. She was a student from Wuhan.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, I was like, I had this weird reaction just to the name of a city in China because he calls it the Wuhan flu or the Kung flu, which is so racist. Mm-hmm. I'm just ready
racist.
For those things
so
to be
racist.
Done.
Yeah, me too.
What are you looking forward to?
I'm,
is there anything in particular that you found that, like, used to bring you joy but doesn't anymore because of Donald Trump?
You know, I always think about how comforted I felt when Obama was speaking on anything. Mm. Like, I felt like things are under control. And now, whenever his mouth opens, and I'm afraid I'm still going to feel this way when he's out of office, whenever his mouth opens at a podium, a part of me goes, oh my God, is this the end?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, no matter what it's about. That's the thing that I'm not going to miss when it's gone. And I hope he stays gone. Like, I hope they don't let him anywhere near a microphone.
Listen, that's not true. He's already talking Trump TV. However, Howard Stern did say he doesn't think it would last longer than a year. But I know that he's trying to get his entire own network.
Based on the way he's run his businesses, it couldn't last more than a year.
And that's my thing. Based on his track record alone, everything he does fails.
Yeah.
Literally everything he does fails.
But unfortunately, he has a base that could keep it alive this time around. I don't know. We'll continue talking with you, Ryan Basham. We look forward to next week's Red, White, and Q. And we look forward to you.
I look forward to you.
Thank you so much.
Stay safe.
Now coming up, 50 Cent recently did an interview and he touched on the support he allegedly gave Trump. And if there is a chance of a romantic reunion with Chelsea Handler since she's professed her love for Andrew Cuomo. Coming up next in What's Poppin'.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Now for some pop culture news from Michaela Gordon, the queen of pop culture. Last hour, you were just a princess. Now you're a queen.
Ooh,
one of my favorite segments, What's Poppin', brought to you by California Psychics, and Chelsea Handler's in the news. What's going on?
Okay, well, you guys know I love Chelsea Handler. I think she's amazing. I think she's so funny. I was surprised to know that her and 50 Cent dated.
I love how you just pronounce it so perfectly.
Thank you, 50 Cent. They dated, and it wasn't too off the grid for me, though, because she's so funny. She's so down to earth. And they apparently had a really great relationship, and they've remained really, really good friends. So it wasn't surprising when she came out and said that her and 50 might have a romantic reunion. She said anything is possible. But 50 Cent just did an interview where he talked about his alleged support for Trump. He said, I turned down $1 million to go to the inauguration in 2017. Why would I just switch gears now, because Chelsea tried to drag him recently, saying, "You used to be my favorite ex-boyfriend, but now no, because you support Trump." So he's like, first of all, we're not doing that. I didn't. But then he says, and secondly, there's no chance of him and Chelsea giving it another go. He said, she's a comedian. We're really great friends. And it's part of her show to be unpredictable. It's what makes her a comedian. So it's all good. But actually, she likes Italian guys, Italian hunks, like Andrew Cuomo. But he said he thinks he's all right, too. He doesn't mind Andrew Cuomo. So they're not getting back together. And now 50 Cent is putting rumors down that he's not a Trump supporter.
Okay, well, that's fair. I think she's funny. She does have a history of like having an affinity for the brothers, I will say.
Oh, yeah, she's dated
I remember she did an interview years ago where she had the rapper T.I. on, and it was one of the most uncomfortable but also hilariously sort of sexual interviews I've ever seen in my life.
Why? Oh, my God. Well, because T.I. is married.
Well, this was years and years ago. I don't know if he was married at the time. I think he had just gotten out of prison for something, and T.I. versus T.I.P., his album was coming out, and this is maybe 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And she had her show, Chelsea Lately, I still believe, over on E!, and she just flirted with him aggressively.
Did he flirt back?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I love it. Wait, pull it up so I can watch it during the break.
I'll find it for you.
All right, you guys. Well, coming up in the next hour, first, actually, I'm so sorry. This What's Poppin' is brought to you by California Psychics. CaliforniaPsychics.com. It is something that I personally experienced. I think it's amazing, and I want to share it with you. Whether you have questions on finance, career, are you going to get married? Are you going to break up? Just to even have somebody to talk to in the middle of a pandemic, California Psychics is here for you. You can download the app. And if it's not the best reading you've ever had, it's free. That's CaliforniaPsychics.com. Now, in our next hour, the co-founder and co-director of the Lesbian Project joins us to discuss how lesbian bars have gone from 200 bars to 15 bars and why they are seeking your help to keep them alive. We're back in 2 minutes.
Come on. Halfway through the week, this makes me happy. Also, next week is a short week. Are we going to play this Tuesday morning next week? Because it's a 3-day work week, people.
Oh, my. It is. Oh, my God. It is. Oh, my God. I love corporate.
Well, so Michaela Gordon thought that Thursday, this Thursday, tomorrow was Thanksgiving for the longest time. If you missed our intervention, we had that with her the other day because she doesn't understand how to keep a calendar. So if you missed that, download the radio.com app and listen to our show as a podcast. If you're also a disaster like her, maybe you can relate.
Can you bring me a little turkey tomorrow just for the memory?
Just to warm you up?
Yeah.
Just
to get you ready? Do you like cranberry sauce?
No.
You don't?
No, I hate turkey and cranberry sauce.
Ew,
I think
you're
just
trash. Like Lisa.
I have theories about Thanksgiving.
All right, let's do that next week. Let's talk cranberry sauce, what kind of person that makes you, and theories of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, because Thanksgiving's all made up. It's fake, but it's my favorite holiday of the year.
You love it. You were like, I can't put my trip till after Thanksgiving,
and
but here we are.
I will eat turkey and cranberry sauce, and I'll hate every minute of it.
Yeah, great.
Next week, when Thanksgiving happens. What's happening this hour is, in about 15 minutes, we're joined by the co-founders of the Lesbian Bar Project. You know, lesbian bars are really at risk of just going away forever right now. There were over 200 of them back in the 1990s. You'll never guess how many still exist today and what these two are doing to save them. Stick around for that conversation. Starts in about 11 or 12 minutes from right now, so make sure you're here for that. Before we get ahead of ourselves, though, Michaela Gordon, how about some news on the beat, please?
You got it, babe. The fate of a federal stimulus package is looking bleak. Lawmakers are getting less confident a deal can be reached in the lame duck session, with the focus instead turning to a government spending negotiation that must be finished by December 11th. Aides on both sides say serious conversations about the stimulus have tapered off even as U.S. coronavirus cases have soared past 11 million. The men and women throughout our country, they're suffering because of COVID, and we're not doing a damn thing to help them, said Senator Patrick Leahy.
Yep. Leahy. Like a lay down.
Like Leahy.
Patrick Leahy.
But Leahy.
Yeah.
Great.
Leahy down.
Leahy.
Now you'll never forget it. I know how your brain works.
Senator Patrick, now you'll never forget it, and neither will our listeners.
I'm trying to forget you right now.
The divide between Republicans and Democrats continues to simmer over how much money each side is willing to spend. Democrats, including Biden, have urged Senate Republicans to pass House Democrats' HEROES Act, which totals more than $2 trillion. Republicans, meanwhile, have made it clear they are not willing to spend much north of $1 trillion.
Yeah, we don't try to make light of all of this, and we know that, you know, real Americans are struggling right now.
Oh, hoping, absolutely. I'm not making light of the stimulus check.
No, of course not. And I would love a stimulus check. That'd be great.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of people who are out of work, but also there's so much bad news every day. It feels like these people in the House, the Senate, they're just not adults anymore.
Yeah.
Like, just come on.
Yeah.
It's not your money out of your pocket. It doesn't affect you.
I know. Relax.
Give people what they need. What was it? Was it $1,200 people got, I think?
Yeah,
6 months ago or something?
Uh-huh.
$1,200.
Yeah.
We're 8 or 9 months into the pandemic now. $1,200?
Yeah.
Really?
And I believe Australia did it totally different. Although they've been on lockdown, they've received an ample sum of money to make sure that they can get through it.
Well, Andrew Yang ran on the premise of this universal basic income, I believe it was called, $1,000
really
a month. And they're actually testing that, I believe, in Northern California, in Stockton, if I'm not mistaken.
Hmm.
Stockton, high crime rates there, a lot of poverty. However, they're trying a number of people for the next couple of years. They're giving them basically like $1,000 a month.
That's amazing.
Just to see how their lives might change.
It's going to change.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money, and that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And should have been happening.
Of course. People need it.
All right, you guys. Well, in other news, good news. This is exciting. Looks like Daniel Levy's year just keeps getting better.
I love him.
He's so cute. After a tear-inducing final season of his show Schitt's Creek and a history-making night at the Emmy Awards, Levy has logged another personal first with the upcoming issue. The Schitt's Creek creator is making his debut on People's Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive list. He went on to say that he never thought somebody like him would ever make that list. He understands that he's a very niche market when it comes to sexy, but a lot of people don't think he's niche at all. A lot of people find him so attractive.
I think he's so hot.
I think he's so hot, too.
You could line up 50 guys who look just like him, too, and I would not find them attractive at all.
You know, if for
it's
me,
not my type, but he, ooh.
But even, you know, it's so funny. Let's take it a step further. Even his dad, Eugene Levy, who also looks like my father, so this is weird.
Caterpillar eyebrows.
Absolutely.
Like everything.
I think he's handsome because honestly, it's the humor for me.
It's
just so great. And the brains and the smart.
That's what, and the kindness.
Yep.
There's so much heart in Schitt's Creek. And
absolutely.
I just, the way they tell those stories was so beautiful to me.
It's amazing.
He's sort of an idol. I met him last year at an awards show, American Music Awards, I believe, last year about this time.
Yeah.
And he was sitting there like a row or two in front of me, and we talked during one of the commercial breaks. He's just an idol of mine. He's great.
I love it. All right, you guys, well, let's get into a little weather. It's a high of 46 in Baltimore, a high of 37 in Buffalo, 50 in Chicago, 43 in Cleveland, and a high of 57 in St. Louis. Now, give us a vibe of the day.
There is no failure except in no longer trying.
That's 100%
true. Try your
best. Just give it a try. That's all you have to do. All right, well, coming up, we're having a great conversation with the co-founder and co-director of the Lesbian Project. They join us to discuss how lesbian bars have gone from 200 bars to 15 bars and why they're seeking your help to keep them alive. We're back in 2 minutes.
I remember that Pride began as a riot, that our community is getting stronger and more vocal every day, and that we, too, can protect a safe space.
You're listening to audio of a PSA that's near and dear to our hearts. It's part of the Lesbian Bar Project. There are only 15 lesbian bars across the United States, and this campaign is created to call to action to preserve them and hopefully at some point start to expand them, because that's not enough.
Yeah.
Here on the Morning Beat right now, we're so excited to welcome Erica Rose and Charles Hayes IV. They are the co-director and co-producer of the Lesbian Bar Project. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having
us.
Well, I have to say,
yeah,
this is
so
insane
excited
that there's only 15 bars open. I remember going to the lesbian bars when I was, 21, as most of us do, looking, just to meet people within our community. I feel like lesbian bars are so different than gay bars, and there already were such few gay bars. And to now know that they're in such jeopardy,
it's
devastating.
I didn't realize this. There were 200 lesbian bars in the United States in the 1980s. We're down to 15 right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. The number is really unacceptable. And, we teamed together and we were like, we have to do something about this. So that was kind of why basically at the beginning of the pandemic, there was like a bunch of articles that came out that like had this like shocking number. And like me personally, like I feel like I'm like very integrated into our community and like I'm very gay and go to the bars all the time. And I didn't even know. So I was like, if I don't even know, then like most of the country and the world won't know. So we like teamed together and started this project, and it's been a whirlwind of 6 months. We're in now our final week of fundraising.
This is super exciting. You've also partnered with Jägermeister Save the Night Initiative. And I want to know, like, what is the goal? Is the goal to simply save? Is it to bring awareness? Is it to encourage other, you know, maybe lesbian women to, like, open bars across the country? Like, what is the end game?
So I think it's all of those things. I think we are realizing that along with this, you know, knowing that these bars are suffering or in jeopardy due to the pandemic and due to the lack of, you know, everyone being able to go outside, we want to give them funding. We want to give them support so that we can help them survive this pandemic. But beyond that, you know, awareness is key. If we're doing, you know, Google searches and we can't find places that feel like home for us, then we're not going to go and be there. We're not going to go be present. We're not going to spend our dollars in those spaces. So it's a mix of getting funding to and support to the bars that are already here, bringing awareness to the country and to the world as a whole that these spaces exist and that they are important and special to our community. And then even beyond that, and inspiring other lesbian and LGBTQIA community members to open up these spaces so that we can, you know, continue to flourish and grow more than just the 15 that we're, you know, estimating.
Well, I'll tell you, I used to bartend in West Hollywood, and I bartended at Here Lounge. It used to be open. It's where the chapel is now in Robertson. And we had Truck Stop was the lesbian night once a week. It was the hottest night. I was the only guy allowed to bartend, and I was obsessed. These women were so hot. They did choreography. There was tequila on their stomachs. It was amazing. Explain the difference, though, and why the importance of actually having lesbian bars and not just like a lesbian night once a week or once a month.
Yeah, so that's a really, really good question, and one that we've been like, kind of answering throughout this campaign. You know, when we believe like lesbian bars, like how we're kind of using that title is an umbrella term for all marginalized genders. So, you know, lesbian bars are safe spaces for queer women, non-binary folks, and trans men. And, you know, because of that, you know, a lot of people who like identify that way could go to a gay male bar that is like catered to the gay male experience and, you know, not only not feel necessarily safe, but not feel like that space is for them. So, you know, because like we are a minority, but we're a pretty significant minority and we deserve a safe space and a space that is catered to us just like everyone else. And I think that the LGBTQ community has been so centered on gay, cis, like especially white men. And it's time that other parts and aspects of our beautiful community gets the same recognition and gets the same prosperity. So it is really, it's like, you know, just speaking from personal experience, like when I go, like, you know, we are New York based folks, and for the New York people who are listening, you'll identify with this maybe. Like I, you know, can go to Metropolitan, which is a bar in Williamsburg, and that's like kind of focused on gay men. And not only am I like definitely the shortest person in the room, like I can't see above anyone's very tall, fabulous head. I also feel like, you know, within that space, like, although it is like, you know, this like blanket, like LGBTQ kind of like safe hub, it's also like, you know, it's not a space for me and I feel others. So when I go to Cubbyhole, you know, that space is, it's like staggering how it feels when you go into a space that is catered for your experience.
Erica,
and Cubbyhole accepts everyone. Yeah.
No. Of course. Listen, I love Cubbyhole. I spent my 30th birthday there. And it was so important. I want to continue this conversation with you because there's also oftentimes a misconception. It started as a joke that lesbians will meet each other the first night, they U-Haul in, and then they never go out again. I've been in a relationship for 6 years. I would love a place to go. I want to talk about that and how we can continue to help what you're doing coming up next.
We're joined again by Erica Rose and Charles Hayes IV. They are the co-director and co-producer of the Lesbian Bar Project. We were just talking to them a moment ago. There are only 15 lesbian bars left in the country. They're doing everything they can to make that number go up and to sustain that number at the very least. There were 200 in the 1980s, mm-hmm. and they did this PSA, this video. It's absolutely incredible. We've got it up on our website, wearechannelq.com. Go check it out after this interview. But Michaela, I want to know specifically, because I guess I've never really thought about this, you know, as a gay white man who goes through seasons of my life where I go to the bars a lot, and sometimes I don't. I used to be a bartender in the gay bars, then I wasn't. I've never really thought about what it must be like for you as a lesbian woman going into gay bars. I just thought it was the same.
Yeah.
Why are lesbian bars so important to you?
Because I'm not a drag queen, and I'm often misconceived as one because I love glam.
Well, that's your makeup.
And that's just my hair, that's my weave and my nails. But I think why I've always found such comfort in places like Henrietta Hudson, not only are they iconic bars, but also I want a place to go where I feel safe, which is what we were just talking about. But what I asked you, Erica, and Charles, of course, there is a misconception that lesbians will meet each other one night and they're out and they never go out again. But I just don't think that's true. And there's just no places offered for lesbians that are still in a relationship. Do you agree?
I mean, it's like that like joke that like, okay, what does a lesbian bring on a second date? Like a U-Haul truck. And then like, what does a gay man bring on a second date? Like, there is no second date.
We bring our new date.
Right. And Leah Delaria said this best in an interview she had with Yahoo. And she spoke about how, in her experience, lesbian bars are not just for like hookup culture, that primarily they're served for community and community building. And, you know, I'm in a relationship as well, like a monogamous relationship. And yet I like, the spaces I go to gather with my friends are these lesbian bars and these queer spaces because they cultivate community. Mm-hmm. And the thing I like always like to say during this project is that like when I think back to like my memories of like being in New York and just like living my life, it's like never, it's like always like within these spaces and within this like nightlife, and like memories are not like made behind a computer screen. And like, you know, because we're forced in this time of the pandemic, we're forced inside, we're forced to reflect. It's given us this opportunity to really value this space and to fight to keep it. And I think that's why we're, you know, activated and wanting to activate our community and saying that these spaces serve a purpose. They are like so important and can't be extinguished.
Here's a thought. And I want you to have an opportunity to express on this for a moment, because there are some who think, listen, we fought for so long for equality, we fought for rights, for visibility, and all, representation, all these things, and now we're getting it more and more across the board in pop culture, film, television, music. There's more representation, so there is the thought that maybe gay bars and lesbian bars aren't as necessary as they used to be, because we now can be out and proud in other spaces as opposed to just going to those spaces. And maybe they're not needed anymore. What would you say to people who kind of have that sort of that mentality?
To be honest with you, I would combat that wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. I think that type of theme or thought process is based in the sense that every space is for everyone, and everyone can go wherever they want to mm-hmm. go and feel comfortable and feel included. And I think that we've seen over the years that that's not the case for trans people. That's not the case for non-binary folks. And it's not the case even for just, you know, the run-of-the-mill gay. Like, I don't necessarily feel super invited and comfortable at a sports bar. And maybe that's because I don't care about sports, but also maybe that's because no one is really talking about anything beyond mm-hmm. the game that's on.
Yeah.
And I think I would love to be in a space where we're not required to prioritize space for the LGBTQ community, but I don't think that we're there yet, because everyone doesn't accept everyone. Everyone isn't okay with everyone. We've experienced transphobia in this campaign. We've experienced homophobia in this campaign, and even from, you know, community members inside of the community. And I think that until, you know, a straight person or a heterosexual person can go into any bar they want, and whether it be prioritized for the LGBTQ community or whether it be for the heteronormative culture, they don't have to really be worried about anything because they're the standard. And I think that we need to move out away from this idea that, like, that's the standard, and if you're outside of that standard, then you go to these other spaces.
You better preach.
Well, yeah, and I think it goes back to Erica, what you were saying, and Charles, you did too, that it is a safe space, particularly for women when it comes to these lesbian bars. I suffered from sexual abuse, and so sometimes I feel like I feel safe with women that are like me, and I know that I'm not going to get mm-hmm. hit on aggressively. And, you know, I'm even at a place in my life where my partner and I are starting our fertility journey, and I don't have very many women to have that conversation with, to talk about who else is caring. And you would think, okay, Michaela, you want to meet those kind of women at a bar? Yeah, I do, because they have fun. And then we go back and we have these, they're fun girls, okay? And then they're fun lesbians. And then, but that is where it is just such a sense of community for so many reasons. And it's just devastating to see that there's 15 left. So please, we're encouraging everybody to go to www.lesbianbarproject.com. This is so incredible. Please tell us anything else about your campaign you want people to know right now.
We're having virtual events on Sunday the 22nd and Monday the 23rd coming up. A roundtable discussion with Leah Delaria and Rosie O'Donnell and Roxane Gay, and then a free comedy show on Monday with the likes of Cameron Esposito and Sydney Washington and Rita Brent. They can get information from those events on the Lesbian Bar Project website as well. We'd love to have everyone.
That's amazing. Please, please keep in touch with us. Let's figure out how we can continue this going. And even after the pandemic, we don't know when it's going to end, but we would love to help you again. That's www.lesbianbarproject.com. Erica Rose, co-director, and Charles Hayes, co-producer. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you both so much. Really appreciate it.
Stay safe.
Of course. Randy Rainbow is at it again, and this time it's Kaylee McEnana, who's the star of his Broadway tune, and we have the audio coming up. We're back in 2 minutes.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Before we get to what's popping, Randy Rainbow back in the news. That's a fun one. We have some great audio for you. I want to remind you that our show is also a podcast. If your schedule has changed over the last few months, I can't imagine why. Anything different
can't imagine it
in our lives going on. You can download the radio.com app, listen to the Morning Beat anywhere you take your mobile device. If you're new to our show, maybe you got some catching up to. We've had some incredible celebrity interviews. I think just since the pandemic started, we've had roughly 75 celebrity interviews on our show. If you want to go back through the archives and listen to them, we highly recommend it. We have some really great ones. Billy Porter. We've got Kristen Bell on there. Cindy Lauper. The cast of Tiger King.
Oh, it's amazing.
If you want to go back to that era of the pandemic, download the radio.com app. Listen to The Morning Beat as a podcast. Please and thank you. Now, Michaela Gordon, what's Randy Rainbow up to?
Well, he's at it again, honey. He's incredible. I am obsessed with him. This is brought to you by California Psychics, and here's how it's going down. Randy Rainbow is using Stephen Sondheim melody from the musical Company for his new basis. Thus, the song Getting Married Today has become Not Re-Elected Today. Let's take a listen first before we talk about who's starring in his new single.
Bless this day, glorious and grand. Donald just got canned, yet still somehow he divides as he hides away.
First of all, he's amazing. His voice is amazing. He's hilarious. His writing ability is incredible, but Kaylee McEnana has repeatedly spewed.
Kaylee McEnana, I love when you tease her like that.
She has repeatedly spewed false allegations of voter fraud in various states, as well as denied the results of the election. So naturally, Randy Rainbow is coming for her, or should I say playing her. Take a listen.
It's been over a week since Joe Biden won the election, and the president has yet to concede or even acknowledge the results, which poses a threat to our safety. What the hell's going on?
Pardon me, is everybody here? Because if everybody's here, I want to thank you all for coming to the White House, and I wish that I could tell you where we're at, you know, with national security and stuff, but we're not interested in that. So if you're looking for concessions, there's some peanuts in the lobby, but the president's not budging because he's only just a baby, so I thank you all.
Oh, so good.
It's incredible!
Using the melody from the musical Company by Stephen Sondheim. If you know anything about musical theater, Sondheim is so impossible to perform. Think of Into the Woods. My sister played the baker's wife in high school, and just the rhythm of the lyrics is so impossible, and Randy Rainbow makes it sound effortless.
Effortless.
So good.
I love it. All right. Well, this What's Poppin' has been brought to you by California Psychics. Go to californiapsychics.com or download the app. If it's not the best reading you've ever had, it's free. And I mean, I think that that's the best because I had a really great reading. I had two readings that were really important that came to me in April after I lost my grandma. It just brought me a lot of peace of mind. And I think that's what everybody could use right now as we're headed into the holidays. We're dealing with mental health, having just somebody to talk to who can sort of see a little bit of what's going on, maybe better than even you can. That's californiapsychics.com. Now, coming up in our final hour, what would you tell your younger self if you could? We have older gays giving advice to the younger generation, and it's solid advice for everyone. We're back in 2 minutes.
Coming up this final hour, we saw a really interesting article in Queerty on the website the other day that was older gay men giving advice to their younger selves. And it got us thinking, what sort of things would we tell our younger selves? Because we've been through it, honey.
Oh, yeah. I love things like this, though.
I do, too. It's always good to look back and think how you might have done things differently. And also, it kind of reminds you to be proud of where you are now.
Yeah.
So I want you at home to listen and think in the next 15 minutes. If you could give one piece of advice to your younger self, what would it be and why? Hold that thought, and we're going to have that conversation 15 minutes from right now. In the meantime, Michaela Gordon, how about some news on the beat?
You got it, babe. Well, the FDA has issued an emergency authorization for the first rapid coronavirus test that can be used at home and deliver results within minutes. The new test uses nasal swab samples and is authorized for ages 14 and older. It'll help people skip long lines as coronavirus cases skyrocket nationwide and comes days after more positive news on vaccine trials. Moderna announced a 94.5% effective rate, while Pfizer and BioNTech said final analysis shows its coronavirus vaccine is 95% effective with no safety concerns. And Pfizer's CEO says the company plans to file for emergency use authorization for it soon. The U.S. continues to set grim records with about 76,830 people hospitalized nationwide, the highest number since the start of the pandemic. This is likely the last big surge before a vaccine offers help, said Dr. Mark McClellan, a former FDA commissioner. The months ahead are going to look better than the weeks ahead, he added. Now, in other news, President Donald Trump's campaign has paid a whopping $3 million for a recount of two heavily Democratic Wisconsin counties, saying Wednesday that they were the site of the worst irregularities, although no evidence of wrongdoing has been presented and state elections officials have said there was none. Trump paid for the recounts in Milwaukee and Dane counties overnight Tuesday and planned to submit the required paperwork to trigger the recount on Wednesday, the campaign said in a statement. In the two counties Trump chose for the recount, Democrat Joe Biden received 577,455 votes compared with 213,157 votes for Trump. Biden won statewide by 20,608 votes based on canvas results submitted by the counties. Recounts in Wisconsin and across the country have historically resulted in very few vote changes. Now, 2016 presidential recount in Wisconsin netted Trump an additional 131 votes. Trump won Wisconsin by fewer than 23,000 votes that year and opposed the recount brought by Green Party candidate Jill Stein.
Oh, don't even get me started on Jill Stein.
Come on.
And then she acted like she cared, and she actually, I think she paid for a recount for Hillary Clinton or something in one of the states, or
drag
she offered
her.
It. Come on, Jill.
Drag her.
Where's she right now?
Not president.
Hillary or Jill? Neither.
Neither.
Gosh, I say neither, you say neither.
Aww,
I just learned that right now.
Do I say neither? I never do.
You always said neither. I know, yeah. You sound more intelligent than I do.
I do?
I'm from Ohio.
But you are a smarty boy.
You're from the Mensa capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. So the smartest people on the planet.
You gave me the best compliment. We're the lowest in education. But yesterday we were on a call and you said, she's our real life showgirl. And I was like, I'm the real life showgirl.
Here's my favorite thing about you. And if you're new to our show, you'll learn this very, very quickly. What I love about you is that things that anybody in their right mind would take as an absolute slap in the face or a dig, you look at me as if I just gave you the grandest compliment in the history of the planet.
Listen, honey, I always wanted to be a showgirl. That pleases me.
Well, because I actually mean it as a compliment.
I know. And even when people don't, I don't care.
We have our own language.
Yeah, we do. Okay, well, do the...
The vibe thing? Got it.
That was our language.
There is no failure except in no longer trying, so just don't give up.
Just give it a try already. Who cares? It's 2020. 2020 tried us. Try it back.
That was good.
All right, it's a high of 75 in Houston today, a high of 66 in Kansas City, 81 in Miami, 61 in San Francisco, and 90 in Phoenix. All right, you guys, what would you tell your younger self if you could? Well, we have older gays giving advice to the younger generation, and it's solid advice for everyone. We're back in 2 minutes.
All right, so moments ago, I posed the question, if you could give advice to your younger self, what would that advice be and why? I asked our listeners to think about this. I asked you to do the same, Michaela. I'm sure you've been thinking about it nonstop for the last 15 minutes. Did you just break off your pinky nail? What's happening to you? Are you okay?
I just literally went to move my big rear end and I flipped off my pinky nail.
Oh, I saw that happen.
We saw it in real time. We were literally part of this in real time.
Look, we're live on air.
And on air.
So hold it together
all
for
right.
just a moment
okay,
while I give some context.
Go ahead.
Because we found an article online on Queerty, one of our favorite websites, and it's a list of older gay men offering 15 life lessons to their younger gay counterparts. So it got us thinking. If you could give, let's go back to 20-year-old Michaela.
Yes.
What would you say to her?
Oh my God, I love you, sis. I love you. And I would say, don't be afraid of anything. Who cares? I think that I worried a lot growing up and even after Idol about what other people thought.
American Idol. She was on American Idol at age 16, the youngest contestant ever at the time.
Thank you. Well, I was like wild and I was like very free spirited and I was not like anybody else. And that ended up being the best thing about me. And I wish I would have embraced that more and had a lot more belief in myself.
Because... when I first met you 14 years ago, I was so fascinated by you and terrified of you simultaneously. I wasn't ready for you. I was like, you're my friend, but you need
wild.
To go in the corner for a while.
I know. But, you know, I ended up watching people that became very successful with a similar personality. And so it was a reminder that I always needed to stick with my gut and to always try.
Yeah. Don't conform. I think that would be my advice. I think my advice to myself would be because I came out at age 20 and I was very proud and very loud about it. But somewhere over the course of my 20s and into my 30s, I just was a gay guy, but I was talking the talk, but I wasn't necessarily walking the walk.
Yeah.
I would still find myself in moments sort of hiding parts of myself in order to fit in or be successful or whatever I thought people wanted from me. So I spent a lot of time conforming to the idea of what I thought people needed from me in order for me to be successful because I put so much pressure on myself. I think this, in a similar way, I would have said to myself, nobody's opinion matters but yours. If they don't live inside your brain and pay your bills and go to bed next to you at night, their opinion doesn't matter.
Well, you know, I had this realization when my grandma passed away. It just ends. You can't take any of it with you.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter. Social media doesn't matter because when this life is over, it is literally over. So the time you're wasting about should I do this, should I do that, nobody cares. And also, everyone's too selfish to care. They're worried about themselves.
Well, speaking of older gay gentlemen, our program director, Brian Holt, just graced us with his presence.
Come on.
What would you say to your younger self, Brian?
I would say, and this is real advice, right? And it's kind of boring, but it's real. Save your money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's fun to go out, and you can do both, but put just a little bit away every month, and you will not worry in your older years.
That's so smart.
I'm telling you, if you saved one cocktail a month at the Abbey, mind you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You saved a lot
of money. It's $25, and you invested it, and you started in your 20s, let alone your 30s, or you start in your 30s, let alone your 20s, you will be okay when you get older.
How old were you when you started saving? When did you learn that lesson?
I learned that lesson around 27.
Wow, so you're
a good age.
Yeah. So you're rich.
You're not too far off. You're 30. You're 32, Michaela.
No, I'll tell you what, Brian. When you do give us a lot of great advice, and when I started this job, he gave me a few really important tidbits. But one of them was to start putting money away, and it's helped me so much.
It doesn't take a lot. That's the key. Mm-hmm. It's like you don't have to be rich. You don't have to start out rich to get rich.
It can be intimidating. I didn't really learn that lesson until probably my mid-30s, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. And it's
The freedom I've experienced the last few years of just not having to worry and have anxiety about the littlest things.
Yeah.
I remember in my mid-30s calling my dad one time and saying, I just filled up my gas tank. It was $70-some, and I didn't even think twice about it, and that was a good feeling. And that seemed like a big deal to me at the time.
Yeah, and it is, because, you know, when we're young, we go, go, go. We're partying. We're having fun. We're doing all that good stuff, and we don't think about it, and it literally is one cocktail.
Mm.
Or maybe five, depending on where you live.
Another great bit of advice that I saw in here that really stood out that I think we should share.
Stay with us, B.
Is don't prioritize the wrong people in your life.
Absolutely.
Make sure you know who's actually there, who's going to bat for you, who's not talking about you behind your back.
Yeah.
We all have those friends, especially in our 20s.
Well, and also you do, you know, speaking for myself at least, there's a lot of times you do feel insecure.
Mm-hmm.
Our community is based a lot on how you look, what you have, what you wear, and that does go away.
Yeah.
I mean, once you get in your mid-30s, certainly in your 40s, you really do feel confident. And the confidence comes from something, you know, kind of deep inside and less on what's outside.
Yeah.
It really comes. As they say, it does get better. And it really does get better.
I really like this advice. Can you give us another really great piece of advice been given? Then get out.
I'll tell you, the best piece of advice I was ever given was, and it sounds again cliche, you have to just love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be okay with being alone. I don't mean being alone isn't lonely, but you have to be okay with just loving yourself. You may not ever find the perfect mate, and or you may just have to learn to be quiet with yourself. And I learned to do that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, particularly in the pandemic, have had to learn that or are struggling with that in their mental health. B, we appreciate you so much. You've advised us so much. If you're not aware, it's Brian Holt, our program director. You've had 25 years of experience and more in radio. We're
I also
so
love the sound. What is it? ASMR? Is that what it's called?
Oh,
as you keep adjusting your mask over your scruff on your chin. It sounds so good.
No, we love it.
There's a whole internet just for that. People are obsessed with it.
You can actually make a lot of money. If you want to save money, get online right now.
You can start an OnlyFans account. Just with that.
Find Brian Holt on OnlyFans. He's a giant mask.
We're going to set it up for him.
Yeah, great. All right, well, coming up, we're having a conversation. Talk about loving yourself and being authentic. Candace Owens is dragging Harry Styles, but we're dragging Candace Owens. Stick around with the new Channel Q.
Tell me something good.
We can do that. We can tell you something good. How about that, Michaela?
I would love to tell everyone something.
Does that sound like something you're interested in?
Absolutely.
Well, before we do that, I've got a few good things to tell you. We've got a great week coming up still. On tomorrow's program, we have Nina West, one of our favorite queens, doing something really fantastic. Has a new single out, a new EP for the holidays that you can't miss. Also, Jonathan Bennett, starring in the first same-sex love story for a Hallmark Christmas channel ever, joining the program on Friday, along with Isis King, a trans model and activist, joining us on Friday, too. Listen, we got 2 days left this week, and we have a plethora of amazing guests. So make sure you tune in to the Morning Beat all week long and join us for those conversations. Now, here's my first story. Let's go to the zoo, shall we? The National Zoo has a new panda cub, and they're asking for votes to name it. Now, the National Zoo is in Washington, D.C., and they need a name for this little guy. Born on August 21st this year, this wee one is really good at napping, nursing, cuddling with his mother.
Oh.
Uh-huh. There's even a giant panda cam so you can see him and his parents in action. So there are some possible names chosen by the zoo and Chinese partners who strive to conserve this beloved and endangered bear. They want to reflect happiness. So here are some of the ideas so far. Futsai, which is Mandarin for prosperous boy. That's a good one, right? I like that one. Xiao Qi Ji, which is Mandarin for little miracle. But I kind of want to know what you would name this panda, Michaela Gordon.
Okay, I would name him something great.
I know that because you're really good at naming dogs, so you'd probably be good at naming pandas too.
I would name him...
Think about it.
Expandable?
Why?
Because he gets super excited and he opens his little arms and he expands and it's a panda. And well, I go to...
Justin's going with Panda McPanda Face because that's every straight man's joke in their mid-30s. What is that from?
Well, I mean, there was a bunch of stuff. Like they named a boat Bodie McBoatface.
Yeah, I could get down with that.
All right.
Panda McPanda Face.
What would you...
I don't
Name
know.
Name yours.
Patty. No, he's a guy, isn't it? Paddington? Paddington the panda? I don't know. Paddington Bear? I have no idea. Listen, I was really just throwing this question to you two.
Reprimand.
That's so stupid.
Panda Express.
That was a... Oh, wow. That was probably problematic for a lot of reasons.
Why? It's Panda Express. That's the name.
It's probably cultural appropriation.
Okay, it's probably
not.
Panda Express named themselves, not me. He's a panda. It's
Although,
Panda Express.
I could really mess up some orange chicken right now with some lo mein on the side.
Show me a little beef with broccoli and I will show you a yes.
A good time.
Okay, well, still not problematic. In other news, Santa Claus is not coming to town this year due to a pandemic, and it's devastating. I actually do not know how I'm going to talk to my niece. My nephew found out this year some devastating news. I won't say on air in case anyone's listening.
The segment's called Tell Me Something Good, by the way. Just turn it around.
Okay, so here's what it is. As the coronavirus pandemic rages on, tourism in many countries took a huge hit, as to be expected. But Israel's tourism ministry decided to try and bring some Christmas cheer with a new tourism campaign featuring Santa Claus in the Dead Sea. Now, the Dead Sea is known to be one of the most inhospitable waters for plants and wildlife, and also like a very spiritual experience. Mm-hmm. So Santa Claus is headed to the Dead Sea. There's actually video of him swimming around in his little suit. He can be seen frolicking and swimming in the water as he shouts, ho, ho, ho. And that's what he's doing. He's on a paddleboard at one point. He's hanging out on a lawn chair. And he says, I'm here. Don't worry about it.
Sounds to me like Santa's on an extended vacation is what he's doing.
Yeah,
he's
like, Santa's in Maldives.
I'm going to take the year off. All right, how about this? So cookies for caregivers. It's a group in Pennsylvania. They deliver cookies to frontline workers during the pandemic. Nothing makes you happier than a cookie, right?
Yeah.
Like, I just love a good cookie.
We love cookies.
They've delivered more than 15,100 cookies during this pandemic, which I think is really fantastic. Scott McKenzie and Jeremy Ulrich, they're both from Huntington, Pennsylvania. They held a bake-off in April at the height of the pandemic, which led to this entire situation. And now it's gone viral on Facebook. They're giving cookies to people. Just a little sugar rush every now and then is what you need to get through the day.
I love it. I think that's amazing.
So shout out to them. Good job.
All right, you guys. Well, that is the end of our show. Just to echo what AJ said, we have incredible guests. We have Nina West tomorrow talking about her EP, The West Christmas Ever. Also from Bravo, sheer genius, Kim Vo joins us to talk about how he's been able to stay open during a pandemic and some quick at-home holiday hairstyle tips. And then we have our Trumpy, of course, this week as well. So we stay tuned. Continue washing your hands, wear your face mask, and we'll see you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.